Thank you for offering to share your memories of Ely Pits and Meadows. Could you tell me your name and when and where you were born?
Well, my name is George Leonard Reynolds. I was born in New Barnes Avenue in 1933. And I've lived in New Barnes Avenue until I got married. And I've lived in Ely all my life apart from National Service. I worked at the local boatyard after leaving school as apprentice boat builder. Worked there for 22 years, I think it was. And then I left and went into the building trade, where I worked until I retired at 65.
So you know the local area around the pits quite well?
Yes, that was our playground when we were youngsters. That was where we learnt to swim, where we learnt to be naughty boys, perhaps, at times. we had a tremendous amount of fun, because there were quite a lot of children. They were all young families in the New Barnes estate, because it was then a new estate. And we all lived really as one big family. We all knew each other. And we would go out to play. Well, in those days, our play was over the fields and in the local countryside.
How do you access the pit?
We went from, I've forgotten the name of the lane now, the one that you go down to, the one that you approach the water board now, oh, Kiln Lane.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know it was called Kiln Lane then, but it wasn't where it is now. I mean, it was referred to as the cinder path. Of course, from the path was made from all the cinders from the kilns. Hence
really?
The name cinder path. Kilns. And it ran diagonally. You know where the offices are on Prickler Road at the moment?
Yeah.
At the top of the road. It ran diagonally from there straight across to the railway crossing.
Right, yes. Because presumably you can remember that as what it was like before it was... Dug?
Oh yes, we remember them digging that. Was lots of fun then. Because when they were digging that pit, or it may have been when they were building the road actually and the bridge, be about 11, I think that would be in the 40s, middle 40s. That's a little bit of a guess, mine.
But it would probably because, tie in with the extra work needed for the floods perhaps, I don't know.
But that's why they were digging, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, yes, after 40... Yeah. Oh, yeah, so it may have been after 47, right?
Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
But, I mean, all through my life, I seem to remember they were digging clay and towing barges up and down and repairing the banks all the time.
And so tell me about playing there.
We used to go down to the pits, and because the river would used to keep one or two punts down there, which their workmen used to go, because there's several islands in the pits.
Right.
And at the weekends when they weren't working, we would get one of the punts and some made-up paddles, and we'd go across to the island, you see, and play our Robinson Crusoe tricks and all that sort of thing. Generally having fun. Not doing much damage, I don't think, at all. We used to do a bit of fishing there as well. And I do remember one day, it must have been a working day because we got caught. There must have been 20 or 25 of us on this island, but of course the punt wouldn't hold 25. And the workmen arrived and saw us all on this island. And so they came across to kick us out. And they had to ferry us back then, half a dozen at a time in the boats, you see.
And how many did you get across at a time? About the same?
Probably 10 or 11, I should think. Yeah. But, and a lot of those would be paddling with their hands as well. Well, there was, if you notice, right towards the EA pit, the far end, there's quite a steep bank. Well, that's how it was. Not quite as steep as that, but it was a rolling hill, which I should think went probably almost as far as the bridge, where the bridge is now, before it became flat land. So they, you know, dug a tremendous amount of soil away from there when they dug those pits. So they grazed cattle on that piece. And that's where the cowslips used to grow. Masses of, on the slope particularly. I suppose it's because they got more sun there, I suppose. Yeah. I haven't seen one for years.
You've got some memories of what it was like in or around the war years.
Well, during the war years, yeah, obviously our main occupation was watching aircraft, because there were so many of them over here. We used to go out late in the evening and when they were doing 1,000 bomber raids, and we would be counting the planes. Lancasters mainly then, yeah, Lancaster and Stirling. Yes, and they'd join up with the ones from East Anglia. They used to be heading across to the East Coast, you see. I did once see a Messerschmitt, and the pilot, in fact, waved to us. It was a brilliant summer's day. Again, we'd be down near the pits, on the road, actually, to Adelaide. And he was very low. He was obviously having a look around. It was, and yeah, he just put his hand up and waved. We waved and off he went. Lots of people tend not to believe that when I tell them, but yeah, it's honestly true.
Did he wave back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was obviously just enjoying himself.
So can you remember anything about the common?
Well, when I talk about tank traps, this tank trap was dug right from where Lee's, you know where, from his property to the corner at the top of the hill where you turn down to Adelaide, because yes, where the tank yeah. trap, so, yes, it ran under the road to the beginning of Sailing Club,
right.
Stopped at the top of the hill, starts to decline then, doesn't it, down that hill to the Sailing Club.
Yeah.
It does seem very curious that they should do it both sides of the road, actually. It's only a very short piece, the other side, really. Well, it seems strange to me that they put it there at all when there was a river just a few yards away. It was just on the roadside of the pillbox.
Did you ever see any activity or anything around there?
I didn't. My brother tells me he remembers the Home Guard used to practice throwing Mills bombs in the field on the Anglia side, where the Anglia water pit is. They have a round wooden handle, and they're about, the actual bomb itself is about that long, about 3 or 4 inches round, if I remember rightly. I think they're an anti-tank thing for throwing at tanks and hoping to knock the tracks off. I think that's what they were for. I don't really know.
So the tank trap was just a deep ditch, was it? What did that
yes.
consist of?
A steep bank, just like the river banks we've got, you know, ones that flood banks.
All right. Yeah.
Each side, and of course they were dug out the same depth, because that's where they built the banks from. And it was about, the water was about the width of this room. So they're very steep, which I think the idea was that if a tank could run up one and it go down, it'd be stuck in the bottom, it couldn't get out. That was obviously the idea of it. I'm sure it would have worked well if they were dark enough to drive into it.
Sort of filled in at all?
No.
No.
No, I don't know when it was filled in. No. Things they used to have. They in the roadway they had sockets in the road, concrete socket holes in the road. Of course they had some up New Barns, and some down Prickwater Road, not far from the tank traps, by the cemetery. Roughly where the mini roundabout is now. That sort of area. And these were made up, you had two sockets sunk in the road, probably about 2 feet deep, and they dropped bent railway lines, old railway lines, which were bent at 45 degrees and then with a straight piece to drop into the hole. Extremely heavy, so the Home Guard used to have to load these into position when they did their practice nights and drop them in. So they'd have two on one side of the road, and then a little bit further down, they'd have another two on the opposite side of the road, so that all vehicles could be stopped easily. Nobody could race through. They'd got to do a zigzag on their practice nights, yes. Oh, there's one other memory that I've been told by my uncle, who's no longer with us, all right. My grandfather, who was deaf as a post, was a farm worker, and he was working out in the fens down West Fen, and he was walking home one night, early evening, and the Home Guard were doing their stopping people as they come in, and him being deaf, they arrested him, thought he was a German spy. Fortunately, my uncle lived just round the corner from this ARP post, or whatever you call it. This was down West Fen Road, and he put them right and recognised him, obviously, and explained who he was. My poor old grandfather. My brother mentioned to me, when I told him I was coming to see you, he remembers a dispatch rider zigzagging through these railway lines that they erect in the road, and he caught one of the pedestals, a footrest on one of the iron pieces that he zigzagged round it, which threw him off into the dike, and he broke his ankle. But I've no idea who it was, but as far as I know, it was a Home Guard dispatch rider. But presumably he was trying to go through and just see if they would stop him or not. But yes, it worked.
Can you remember anything about the area, the physical area, and how it changed?
Well, it changed. In fact, the trees are much larger now. They were young trees then, and now they're massive. On what was the other side of the tank trap, it's a really grown-up hedgerow and full row of trees, quite young trees then. Because when they had a little railway line up the side of the road with little tipper trucks on, and at weekends they left the trucks there. There was no engine, or I don't remember seeing an engine, but we used to push the bogies up to the top of the hill, and then three or four of us would climb on and ride down the hill. Well, there's quite a sharp bend at the bottom and a pond. We would quite often end up in the pond.
Yeah.
And of course, once you've got a metal bogey on a track, it really gets the speed up.
So after the war years then?
The common was used for grazing then, just because I lived on Prickwell Road after I got married. And they used to drive cattle up loose. They'd bring the herd, because they were milking cows.
Yeah.
And they brought them from their yard at Lynn Road, and would drive them down on a Sunday morning early, and if you hadn't got your front gate shut, you'd have a cow in the back. Of course, my grandfather used to work for Lees, and originally he was a horse keeper, but after the horse had disappeared, he went to work for Lees, and he would be generally looking after cattle, well, doing all sorts of things, actually.
Yeah, so do you still go up to the pits?
I do quite often walk up there on a Sunday, if it's nice, yes. Yeah. Mainly for memories, really. It's a pleasant spot, and...
It's changed a little bit, hasn't it? I mean, there's a lot more people using it now.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, a tremendous amount. Whereas then there were very few. It was just the new barns, children, really. I haven't walked right round the far side by the railway for many years now. It used to be possible. You had to trespass on the railway property, because that's where we used to swim. Where the railway bridge is, the inlet there, they used to have, because all the barges used to come through, so they had big bolts of timber to stop them damaging the bridge. And these big, they were about 2 feet square. Logs about 15 feet long, and they were just moored in the water by the bridge, entrance of the bridge, to take the knocks for barges. Well, they made an ideal platform for us to stand on and dive in. Yes, that's where we used to swim in. It was called the Forefoot. I don't know if that was an official name. I imagine it was 4 feet deep. I don't know. It was always called the forefoot, but I don't honestly know why. Always referred to as that. Yeah. It was a popular spot for all the newborn children.